We love having a chat to Dick Fane from Radio KJR every Wednesday morning. And we're talking this morning about big signings for clubs. I reckon Dick might be across this from a US perspective. G'day, Dick.
Hey, boys. How you doing?
Yeah, really well. Big signings in US sports.
Well, I mean, if you're looking at drafts, for example, I don't know how you can get better than taking Tom Brady with the 199th pick in the 2000 NFL draft, guys. There were 6 quarterbacks taken ahead of Tom Brady in that draft, and he is obviously the only one left and is going down in history as the best quarterback of all time. So there were 198 players selected before Tom Brady. Yes.
And he keeps getting the job done right up until today.
Yeah, no question. And, you know, while I question how great this Patriots team is, they certainly have a great record. And they put themselves in excellent position to be the number one or, at the very worst, number two seed. I still don't think they're the best team in their conference. I think that belongs to the Baltimore Ravens. The Ravens just have a much more impressive resume as far as teams that they have beaten. I mean, my goodness, the Baltimore Ravens have gone to Pittsburgh and won. They've gone to Seattle and won. They just thrashed the Texans 41-7 this week. So, you know, really, really impressive resume for the Ravens right now, even though I would imagine that New England is still probably your favorites in your market to make the Super Bowl out of the AFC. But, boy, I wouldn't put my money on the Patriots if they're shorter odds than the Ravens right now. I think they both should be about the same odds, if not the Ravens getting a little bit better odds.
Talking of the Ravens, this quarterback, Lamar Jackson, he's certainly creating plenty of talk at the moment with his performances. How good is he going?
Well, he's just provided an electricity with the running game that very few quarterbacks have. And, you know, if you're looking at a pure passing quarterback, if you're looking at the MVP favorites right now, obviously Lamar Jackson and Russell Wilson are 1-2 in that favorites list. There is no question that Russell Wilson is a more polished passer. He's been doing it longer. He is a better overall quarterback. But as far as athletes go, I mean, Lamar Jackson has been very good passing the ball, not as good as Wilson, but he's been very good. But then he's just he gives you another running back on the field. In fact, Lamar Jackson leads the Baltimore Ravens in rushing yards. He's got over 100 more rushing yards than their leading running back. So he gives you an extra running back, and he gives you a passing quarterback. And I really think the MVP is going to come down to which quarterback can lead their team to a better record and a higher seed in the playoffs. Now, playoff results do not matter in the MVP voting. That MVP voting is closed before the playoffs start, so it's just what you do in the regular season. So if the Seahawks are able to win their division, say win 12 or 13 games, and the Ravens win 11 and don't win their division or finish with a lower record than the Seahawks, I lean towards Russell Wilson. If the flip side goes and Baltimore wins their division and the Seahawks are a wild card behind San Francisco, it's probably going to end up going to Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, we've just suspended that MVP market at our tab here in Australia. So we'll have prices out and we'll try and get them too. But I think on closing that market, we did have here Russell Wilson the favorite at this stage for that MVP.
The one X factor in that is potential injury. Russell plays a very different game than Lamar Jackson. Obviously, every quarterback is subjected to injury, but Lamar Jackson, let's say, he puts himself in harm's way because he runs the ball so much. Mm. He puts himself in harm's way much more than Russell Wilson does. And if one of those quarterbacks were to go down and miss 2 or 3 games or longer, obviously you would hand the other one the trophy.
Mm. Miles Garrett, what's the latest with that? We know suspended for the year, but from what I understand, he's a poetry-writing, poetry-loving, quiet man who's been a key signing, and all of a sudden he comes up with this crazy play.
Yeah, he's not a guy that is brash and bold outside the lines of play, but he is definitely a guy who has stretched in the past the rules. There's no question about that. And I've never seen anything like this on a football field, guys. I mean, it brings to light, I'm trying to think of the most egregious on-field incidents in American sports history. The Ron Artest one probably takes the cake because Ron Artest jumped over, you know, his bench to attack fans in the stands. So that one probably is still number one on most egregious. But as far as on the field of play, I mean, to take someone's helmet and to swing it at someone not wearing a helmet and to connect like he did with Mason Rudolph is really the most despicable thing I think has ever happened on a field of play, at least in football. And he is going to be suspended for the remainder of the season. He may be even suspended into next year. He doesn't have a long list of violations, which will probably help him. Like Vontaze Burfict was suspended. He became the first player ever to be suspended for a season, and that was just an accumulation of on-field hits. If this were Vontaze Burfict doing this, Vontaze Burfict probably would never play in the NFL again because he's already gone through his three or more strikes. Myles Garrett has not, so they will bring Myles Garrett back. The question is, will it be at the beginning of next season or will it be 4, 6, 8 games into next season?
In your mind, what should it be?
A minimum of this whole year. I wouldn't be opposed to another 3 or 4 games of next season just to, again, emphasize that this can never happen again in the NFL. Mm.
All right. Phil Rivers. We've got a question here from Steve, one of our listeners. Should he retire, Dick?
You know, I've always liked Philip Rivers. I really have. I don't think he's gotten the respect that he deserves of being one of the top 5 to 10 quarterbacks in the NFL. He's certainly not one of those anymore, but he was for a good long stretch of time. And that probably started to go down about 2 years ago or so. And you know, the problem with Rivers, he's always been kind of a gunslinger. He's always tried to make plays when plays might not be there for him to make. And he could get away with that for a long period of time. But he's lost a ton of arm strength. He's lost a ton of mobility. And he was just flinging balls up last night, guys. And, yeah, I would say that San Diego would be much better off with, you know, a quarterback even like Cam Newton, who potentially could be traded there. You know, there's a lot of rumors involving that. They could go after a quarterback in the draft. There's going to be 3 or 4 very good quarterbacks in the draft in San Diego and in Los Angeles. Rather, will have a pretty high draft pick, probably somewhere in that 10 to 15 range. So, you know, I wouldn't be surprised at all if this was Philip Rivers' last season with L.A.
Yeah, this is from another one of our listeners, Dick. This is from Risty. Dick, there's a good chance that the NFC North or NFC West runner-up will have a much stronger record than their AFC counterparts, yet they will go on the road and try and win a wild card game. Doesn't seem fair. Your thoughts?
Yeah, it's just the imbalance that is the NFL right now, guys. And, you know, I would say there's probably 6 or 7 teams in the NFC that are better than everybody in the AFC with the exception of Baltimore and the Patriots. I mean, Baltimore and the Patriots are head and shoulders better than any other team in the AFC right now. And really, those are the only two teams, quality-wise, that even should be in the playoffs. I mean, Kansas City, maybe you can consider them an AFC playoff team, a team worthy of being in the playoffs in either conference. But you look at the NFC, Dallas, Philadelphia, Green Bay, Minnesota, the Saints, the San Francisco 49ers, and the Seahawks are all legitimate, either very good to elite football teams. And it's just unfortunate we have that imbalance that you have to go through your own conference and you have to be the number one team in your conference and get through your conference playoffs before you can represent that conference in the Super Bowl. But at least the AFC has two teams that at least if they got to the Super Bowl would have a chance to win the Super Bowl. Both Baltimore and New England would have a reasonable shot to win that Super Bowl. But yeah, if you're just asking me, who should win the Super Bowl? I mean, you probably should bet on an NFC team right now just because there's so many more of them, so many good NFC teams out there.
Yeah. And quickly, Bo from Albury asks, can we please have Dick's thoughts on the Colin Kaepernick sideshow?
Yeah, that's a great way of putting it. I love the name Aubrey, by the way. That's my daughter's name. happy to answer this question. It was a Colin Kaepernick sideshow. Unfortunately, Colin Kaepernick decided to once again make it difficult for the NFL to evaluate him. Now, he felt like he was just being set up by the NFL, and he kind of wanted to lash back. And so what he did was he changed the venue of the workout. Mm. So instead of about 25 teams coming to watch Colin Kaepernick, it ended up hurting him, and only about 8 teams came to watch him. He wore a very politicized T-shirt
you know, with the name of a, you know, very famous TV actor, a slave in the old TV show Roots in the 1980s. He wore a T-shirt that said Kunta Kinte on it, you know, kind of illustrating again, all he feels like a slave to the NFL. Well, you know, if you want to get a job, you have to play by the rules. I mean, if I want to get a job with an organization, I'm not going to go in and slap the organization in the face in the process of that interview. That's just not smart, whether or not you think you're being treated unfairly or not. And there's a lot of reasons for Colin Kaepernick to feel like the NFL has treated him unfairly. I feel like the NFL has treated him unfairly over the last couple of years. I feel like he's been blackballed by the NFL. But still, you can't go and hurt yourself in a job interview by changing the venue and wearing a T-shirt indicating that you're a slave during the interview. I mean, that's just dumb.
Yeah, no, I totally understand. There are two sides to it, but I understand that point. Good on you, Dick. Appreciate that this morning. We'll speak next week.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.